Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Where there is an imbalance of power, insecurities will exist. Sometimes in our desperation, we don't realize what we're eating is poison.
You can do as many kickbacks and glute bridges as you want in the gym.
Hit,
you
will thrust never, yourself to death.
You will not get the bum that is opening doors.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Wow. Fear distorts your perception of time.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online big sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's conversation, we are going to be talking about insecurities.
Yes.
The girls saw the episode of TMS Plus that went out recently, where we were talking about insecurities and overcoming them, beginning that process, and said, you know what, sisters, we need a full episode.
Yeah, we
of
do.
Dig
we do.
Deep. Let's and dig. Here we are, because ask and you shall receive.
Hallelujah!
Say it again, yes. Be encouraged this Sunday. So yes, we are here delivering. Thank you so much for actually letting us know what it is that you want. So definitely, if you ever have a desire to see something, whether it be on TMS Plus as a short snippet and tips, or you want a full-fledged deep commentary on it, we can do that too. Just comment down below or send us a DM or whatever. Anyway, that's usually for the end of the podcast. But today we're going to be talking about insecurities.
Yes.
When it comes to overcoming your insecurities, you have to identify where they came from. So today we're going to be talking about why so many of us women suffer from insecurities.
I'm excited.
Where it comes from, how we can overcome them, and also how to differentiate between insecurities that need to be embraced.
Yeah.
Or need to be changed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's get into it. Ooh. If you don't know what TMS Plus is, actually, it's not your face saying, oh my gosh, shock.
God, that's a scandal. That is a scandal. What a scandal, scandal.
Scandal.
God.
TMS Plus is our extra glow and grow tips. Yes, we serve up extra portions of the Two My Sisters advice.
That's right.
Every week, well, twice a week, actually.
Twice a week
on YouTube. So for all our sisters that listen to us religiously on podcast platforms, there is some extra content that you can go and see over on YouTube. So definitely hit that subscribe button, turn on your notifications so you never miss anything. And shout out to all the sisters that have been rocking with us on the podcast platform. Because you'll remember when we used to put out two episodes a week. We were talking about this yesterday. When we used to put out two episodes a week, we've basically brought back that kind of same spirit
absolutely,
of consistency
absolutely.
With TMS Plus. So go and check it out.
But before
we get into today's episode,
yes.
in true TMS fashion,
yes.
we have a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
We love to see it. Okay, let's get into it. Hey, ladies. Hey. I appreciate your content so much, all the way from Kenya.
Kenya? All right, I don't have the hello for Kenya. I need to be prepared. Sure. I need like a list of all of like how to say hellos from different countries because I can't be slipping again.
Yeah, I hear that.
But if you are a Kenyan sister, please tell us how to say hello.
Yeah, a greeting.
That what's the common greeting
hello,
in
sister.
Kenya?
Like, we wanted to ask
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man.
We love it. Okay, so I graduated in 2017. Since I knew unemployment here is very high, I was open to getting any job. I have done some small jobs here and there while volunteering, but they never amount to anything. However, things have been very difficult in terms of getting stable employment / a career. I volunteered up until December 2020 when I quit because I was exhausted physically and mentally. And I've been here since 2019. Mm-hmm. All my friends in my friendship group have stable jobs and are prospering. Mm-hmm. At this point, I feel stuck when it comes to where my career is headed, and I honestly don't know what to do. Please, any advice?
Sis. First of all, what actually made me chuckle about this dilemma was the volunteering. So my mom doesn't believe in volunteering. She doesn't believe in unpaid labor. I remember what back in the day, I used to be like to my mom, oh, like, I'm thinking of doing this volunteering? Yeah. How much are they paying? I was like, it's volunteering.
It's
I was like, nah, missed me with the volunteering.
Oh, that is so funny. But it can be a good way to build experience.
Absolutely.
But also it can massively
be exploited. Tell that to my mom the next time you talk to her, because...
No, I'm kind of on her wave though.
I know you are.
People exploit volunteers.
This is the thing.
They really do. But at the same time, if you need experience and you're not really qualified...
Yeah. It is a great way to build it. Yeah.
Good entry point.
Sis, I hear you. It is a very difficult time to just be working in general.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, you know, life is like in Kenya so far as like employment and all of that kind of stuff. But I do know that it can be really tricky when it comes to getting a job, yeah, figuring out your career. And I think the first thing is kind of trying to figure out what key skills you have or are willing to develop that you actually want to do. Because I think sometimes when we think, oh, I haven't got a career in mind, let's start with what you actually do have or what you're willing to develop, as opposed to the career with the big C. Because sometimes it's your skills that open up the doors, or sometimes it's what you're willing to learn that opens up the door to the career, rather than you having to reverse engineer. So actually spend some time by yourself, with yourself, figuring out what am I actually good at or what am I willing to learn. We have a lot of like really dope episodes where we talk about side hustling and we talk about our own career journey. So definitely check them out if you haven't already. But actually spend some time with yourself figuring out what is it that you like to do and how you actually like spending and occupying your time. And then try and see if you can find any kind of roles or like opportunities that match up with that.
Yeah.
I think being very intentional with how you spend your time and how you develop those skills are really, really integral to figuring out what kind of career path you want to go down. And also give yourself a little bit of breathing space. I know it, comparison is really the thief of joy. And as happy as you must be, and I am, for your friends that are prospering in like stable jobs, comparing yourself to their journey will actually not help you. Absolutely. And realize the grass is not always greener. It's crazy because oftentimes we'll be looking at our friends and family and saying, wow, you guys are really prospering. That's, you don't even know if they actually enjoy their job.
Yeah.
So for all of the stability, they may actually really hate their jobs. So I would definitely say use them as a resource too. We've done ATMS Plus that talks about the importance of investing in yourself, some cheap, easy ways of investing in yourself.
Yeah.
One of the ways was to actually lean into the resources you have around you. So the fact that your friends do have stable jobs or do have careers that you think, ah, I could see myself in, use them. Yeah. Ask them about their experience. Really ask good. Them, use them as your network, because essentially they are.
Yeah.
And sometimes we forget that our friends can be that for us. So definitely make use of your friends and make use of those resources. And depending on how much time you do have, obviously there's the financial implication of not having a job and the stress and all of that kind of good stuff. Well, bad stuff, all of that stuff. But spending some time figuring out if you can maybe take internships or you can take roles that are related to, or if you can experiment, really. Volunteering is great, but sis, we're trying to get paid out here. So if you can find open roles and actually dedicate time to ensuring that, you know, your cover letter is up to scratch, making sure that, you know, the experiences that you've had so far from volunteering, making sure that they're articulated well on your CV is super, super important. Maybe we can do, I don't know, maybe a TMS Plus or something later on where we actually talk about like employability skills and making sure that, you know, CV, cover letter, how to actually apply, buzzwords, applications, overcoming algorithms. If that would be helpful, we'll definitely do it. But yeah, making sure that you are in a good place to actually apply for roles as well is really important. So once you've done all of the deep digging and making a use of your network and going to networking events and all of that kind of good stuff, then you can actually start to prepare applications, think about the open roles that are around you right now, and basically shoot your shot. And genuinely, it's a lot, but you don't have to have everything figured out. I think for me, it's the big message there is you don't have to have your life career figured out. I don't know how old you are, you haven't specified, but whatever stage you're at, even if you were late 30s, late 40s, or just starting out, you don't have to have everything figured out just because it looks like everyone else has, because they probably haven't, number one. And number two, the way that life is changing right now, heck, some people start going to degrees and end up in a job that is so far removed from what they started. Be encouraged.
100%.
But I've really rambled.
No, you've given everything. Everything and more. I love it. No, the only thing I was going to say was... just be encouraged by the fact that just because you graduated in something doesn't mean you have to follow that path necessarily, but definitely do the work to develop new skills in whatever area you're interested in. And don't be discouraged by the fact that you went to university and you didn't get a job straight away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is the reality for a lot of graduates right now. And so working on employability skills, taking time to kind of invest in seeking out your passion and whatever that looks like, is really important and is worthwhile to actually do. And I love that you highlighted that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But also, I think there is a need for you to just start carving out your own lane and start. And sometimes that just looks like planning and goal setting and saying, okay, you know what? I know that this is where I want to be in 5 years. How do I reverse, like you said, reverse engineer that so that I can start right now progressing towards that? And progress can take whatever pace you want it to. Exactly. So definitely be encouraged by the fact that you're still, you haven't missed out on anything. Your story is just unfolding. And you just, you know, you need to partner with God to kind of decide on what story that is going to be. So yeah, we know that you will prosper. We know that you'll be good. You'll be all good. God has got you. We are here to support you. We 100. Will definitely provide whatever resources we can, whether that be on the mailing list or through future videos. Actually, now that we know that there's a need for it, like employability, deciding on what careers to do, because it can be so hard, man. It can be so hard. And I love that you emphasize you don't actually have to have it all figured out.
At all.
There are so many predictions that people in our generation are going to have switched careers several times in their lifetime. And that is completely fine. So yeah, and we just hope that, you know, provision will be there for you. Definitely picking up a side hustle and continuing to do those kind of odd jobs here and there. As much as it may not, you think it might not aid towards your greater career goals. At least as it'll provide sustenance for right now. But also it could be something you invest in, whether it be another course, an additional course, a subscription to like an online course.
Yeah.
Or just investing in maybe materials you need to start a particular side hustle that you're talented at, whatever it may be. But just really inspect every avenue of your life, your gifts, your talents, your network, your parents, your family, your area, your community, your church family, whatever it may be. Leverage your community. Leave no stone unturned.
Absolutely not.
To find opportunity, because all you need is opportunity. So definitely go and inspect every single area and avenue and vessel in your life for where there can be potentially an opportunity for you to get that step in the next direction. In the right direction, rather. So yeah,
I love that.
Love you, sis, man. We hope that helped. Renee gave some amazing practical points, so definitely get our pen and paper and your jotter and write that down. If you ever want to send us a dilemma, you can send it to hello@twomysisters.com or on our website, twomysisters.com. That was so commercial.
That was great. You're giving me commercial voice right there.
Thank you.
We don't deserve you.
Oh, thanks. Anyways, let's head into the main conversation. Let's talk about insecurities. Talk about insecurities. The reason why I wanted to make that TMS Plus on insecurities is it's something that whilst I am glowing and growing, I am having to confront every single day.
Boy.
Insecurities, a lack of confidence, feelings of imposter syndrome, they all kind of stem from the same place. Feeling insecure, feeling uncertain about yourself and whether you should be confident or whether you have feelings of being good enough.
You know?
And so why do you think most women and most people have insecurities? Because I truly believe pretty much everyone has
Everybody has insecurities. Everyone is suffering from some form of body dysmorphia. Everybody is suffering from some kind of confidence issue.
Yeah.
Whether it be something that's chronic or something that is, you know, within a particular season of you feeling insecure. But in terms of where does insecurities come from? Wow. What a big question.
What a big
So one. Many different places. First of all, let's take it broad and then we'll reel it in.
Yeah.
Taking it broad, society, the world, the environment that we're in, right? The fact that we cannot exist in a power vacuum. Power is often something that ebbs and flows and something that is kept in the hands of folks that, you know, want to be out on top.
Yeah.
And this manifests in structures, this manifests in dynamics, and for particularly for women, patriarchy is a TMS episode, if we don't know patriarchy, like you. But for women, things like patriarchy, even things like, you know, capitalism, all sorts of structures, the imbalance, where there is an imbalance of power,
colonialism.
Precisely, where there is an imbalance of power, insecurities will exist. Because whoever's losing out, whoever is on the receiving end of that power dynamic, will always be insecure about their place or their position. And this, again, manifests in like patriarchy. So for a lot of women, when we're thinking about things like social media, when we're thinking about established standards of beauty and womanhood, whoever doesn't fit popular or dominant narratives of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be beautiful, what it means to be desired, will always have a sense of insecurity purely because they don't actually fit into those narratives or they don't fit into those conceptions. And society, the frustrating thing about society is that it changes.
Yeah.
So not only are you insecure about your position and you fitting in, you're insecure about how long you can hold your position of power fit in. Because, you know, bums will be in this week, but then next week it's breasts.
It's breasts.
And then next week it's, you know, flat stomachs wearing low-rise jeans. Yeah. I'll be damned if you ever catch me in low-rise jeans. I don't care don't if they come
never.
Back in.
Don't ever say
those
never.
Cannot come back in fashion.
Because I will those clip cannot. This portion of the video and insert that picture of you wearing a good Shakira Shake Your Hips jean.
I'm ahead out
there
now.
Are some instances when it looks nice.
It will not look nice on me. Well, actually, no, I can rock it. I can rock it, but there's definitely a little bit of a curl of fupa coming over. Do you know what I'm saying?
As well, that's in, a good example. Like, flat stomach, low-rise jeans today what? And next tomorrow. Show me that fupa, babe.
Listen, I am team leggings up to my titties. I cannot.
Just under the breast.
Just under you know those jeans that, you know, fucking.
Biggest fancy.
I am the high rise. Still I rise.
Still I rise.
I rise with my jigs, okay? I'm a riser. I rise above it, okay? You low rise people need to come up to our level. But things like fashion trends, things like bodies, things that are external can often be, because they're so impacted by, you know, society at large and all of that kind of stuff, it can be hard to feel secure with yourself when these things are always changing. 100%. Because you're always trying to keep in step with a tune that you didn't set. And it's hard. It's hard as hell. People are going out here getting BBLs and plastic surgery and all sorts of stuff to keep in step with what is in. Wow. As much as we say, you know, confidence and it's all about what you feel is right for your own body, you cannot deny the fact that there are external pressures on women to look a certain way, which contributes to this feeling of confidence.
Yeah.
Because you can feel confident. It's easy to feel confident when you're desired. It's easy to feel confident when you are the thing that people want to be.
Ooh.
It's easy.
That is so
good. This whole idea of, oh, I'm doing it for myself. Yes, you are, but no, you're not, in a way, because you don't exist in a vacuum. You're existing within a power play. You're existing within patriarchy. You're existing within this whole notion of women's bodies being sexualized and consumed, and you want to be consumed.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's okay to want to feel desired.
Yeah.
It's okay to want to feel consumed.
It's a human thing.
Acceptance. It's a human thing. Acceptance is a human thing. But we need to understand that sometimes the way it manifests can be unhealthy.
Yeah.
Sometimes the way it manifests can be at a detriment to our actual livelihoods. Hence the high, you know, mortality rates for surgeries like BBLs. High mortality rates.
Come on.
And it's uncomfortable and it's awkward and all in the name of, you know, I'm doing this for myself. But actually, let's not pretend.
Yeah, let's inspect that.
Let's inspect that claim. So definitely societal pressures.
So good.
Definitely structural pressures that are present. And then when we reel it in a little bit, these things bleed into cultural things. They bleed into communities. Because what's accepted in one community may be heralded in another community.
Yeah.
Thinking about, you know, racial communities, thinking about cultural communities, thinking about even religious communities, right? Thinking about the conversations around modesty, right? The classic, I want to be sexy, but I want to be accepted.
Yeah.
The classic, you know, I want to be desired by the men in my community or the women in my community, but then I also exist in this wider societal. How do I deal with this?
Balancing culture and subcultures.
Like, it's precisely it's this, harsh. Where in a subculture, this is in the wider culture, this is out. So how do I balance that?
Yeah.
And then taking it in even more, a notch. We're thinking about smaller communities. We're thinking about family units. We're thinking about our friends. What's in with our peers right now? What's in with our, you know, our families, our extended families, you know? What do our aunties and uncles think of our behavior, the way that we dress? All of that stuff is literally feeding into people's insecurities and then taking it even narrower to ourselves. Sometimes we create and feed our own insecurities. As a result of listening to all of these different voices, we have compiled this mega voice in our heads that tells us we are not worthy. So as a result, all of these different things, I think of them as like mini monsters coming together to become the final boss. Oftentimes we do it in reverse, right? We think that the final boss is everyone out there, when the final boss is you. You have been consuming so much. You have been consuming all the content that tells you you're not worthy. And now the monster, the biggest monster that you have created is you. Because when you go to sleep at night, when you shut off the laptop, when you stop talking to your friends or family, when you stop, but your insecurities continue, that's you.
Oh, Renee.
That's actually you.
Wow.
But I've rambled, but.
What an excellent summary.
I'm very, very, because insecurities is something that's really dear to my heart because I have had a lot of insecurities in my past. And right now I feel like I'm in a space where I've addressed a lot of them. And whilst I can't say that I'm completely, I still have insecurities. I think it's so important that women, especially women, are told and nurtured how to love themselves properly and how to do away with the feeling of being lesser than or inferior.
I love that. I love that because it really is, like you said, a multidimensional issue. You really have these external forces that are pressuring you to feel accepted, telling you what acceptance requires. And then you have that internal monologue of all those internalized voices and now all the voices from your childhood to the media, to what you learned in school, even the different voices of the times, like you said, are now conflicted in your mind. And I love that you mentioned overconsumption because I think there is, if there's one thing that can cause a lot of confusion, a lot of disarray, and a lot of panic, it's over consuming content. It's over consuming other people's opinions, and it's over consuming image. And I think that that's one thing about insecurities. Insecurities are there because you question your image, your self-image, or the image of who you believe you should be, how you should present, who you would desire to be as well. And sometimes we live, like, I love that you mentioned body dysmorphia. We live in this society where we're constantly comparing the person we see in the mirror to the image that we have in our head. And instead of making the person we see in the mirror the image we have in our head, we're kind of trying to overlay so many different things on top of each other, you know, the expectations of men, the expectations of my family, my own expectations of myself. All of these things overlay on top of each other to the point where you can't really see anything. Everything becomes ugly, right? And so I think in that, I love that you emphasize, there's so many things I love about what you said. I love that you emphasize that there is actually a real deep cause that you can attribute insecurities to, whether it be through sociological issues, psychological issues, whatever it may be. Some of the sisters have been talking about pretty privilege, and they want us to talk about pretty privilege. And I love when we were structuring this episode, you said this would, talking about insecurities would be a great way to bring in pretty privilege, because actually some of us are rightfully insecure. And I'm going to say something a bit wild, but some of us will be like, I'm not pretty. And sometimes the answer is yes, you're not. Because conventionally, you're not pretty. You don't match up. And I'm talking about this with myself, like something I've had to accept about myself. I am beautiful to me, 10 out of 10. But to other people's objective views, and even, I mean, to other people's subjective views, and even to a degree to society's objective dictation of what beauty is, I don't fit into that. How does pretty privilege and this idea of the privileges that people who are objectively beautiful have, how does that feed in and relate to being an insecure person or having insecurities?
Absolutely. First of all, we need to deal with the fact that pretty privilege exists.
Yes.
We're not going to mask it under, I love the fact that you said to me, I'm beautiful, because that is something that people like mask the discussion of pretty privilege under. It's like, oh, don't worry, like, what are you talking about? It doesn't exist. You're beautiful to somebody. Well, actually, That's nice, but you're not conventionally beautiful to everybody.
We need to problematize that.
Let's problematize it, because listen, there's folks out here, no, you know, everybody's beautiful. Everybody is beautiful, yeah. But some people are beautiful in the sense of there is a real power dynamic in society that exists when you are classified, when someone attributes beauty to you.
Yes.
Externally, right? So let's just get that out of the way,
yeah.
You know, that pretty privilege does exist.
Yeah.
And this whole idea of pretty being beautiful, being
attractive,
objectively, of course it's subjective, but objectively in society's eyes has real ramifications because it opens doors.
Go there.
It opens doors when you're pretty.
Yeah.
It opens doors, you know, you get, you know, better deals,
yeah.
Right? You get people opening doors for you. You get people addressing you better. You get people treating you better. Yeah. These are the very real privileges that are afforded when you are conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
It might, and the thing is, obviously this changes, but in like Western society, for example, if you are the attractive petite blonde or you are the attractive petite person in general, there are privileges afforded to you. Yeah. Even the way people address you and engage with you changes when you are conventionally attractive. There's so many people, for example, that I've seen on YouTube who may have gone through like a, you know, even the fact that we have completely romanticized this whole glow up process, right? This whole idea of glowing up. Let's not pretend that pretty privilege is also part of that in a lot of narratives, right?
Okay,
insofar as when we think of glowing up, especially physically, what does that look like? There's a look that everybody is going for. The best version of yourself is sometimes influenced by the fact that you need to look a certain way to signify that you're grown up.
That's so good.
Right? So it's the, you know, do your makeup nice or it's baddie, the baddie look, right? Your waist, you've lost weight. Yeah, you're looking pretty and thin or you've got a big bum or like, you know, the parts of you that is accentuated. Let's not pretend that sometimes that this is influenced by what is considered pretty in society. And that's not to say that you shouldn't aspire to those things, but it means that we need to examine these things.
Yeah.
And when it becomes unhealthy, we're able to pull back, because when it becomes unhealthy is when it becomes, is when it is unattainable. There are certain attributes that is considered pretty that some of us will never have, and we need to get over it. And that's why many of us have insecurities. Some of us are doing up, you know, you can do as many kickbacks and glute bridges as you want in the gym.
Hip
you
will thrust never, yourself to death.
You will not get the bum that is opening doors.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Wow.
You can do all you, like, you can wear all the padding that you like to make your tits look bigger. Mm. But when you go home, you have to take it off.
Yeah.
And when you, you know, have a partner, when you guys get down to the nasty, he's going to be touching cushions.
It's soft.
In the same way, makeup, you can, you know, do whatever. You can flick your brush and you can have be contoured to the gods. But when you go to sleep, when you go into the shower, you have to deal with the reality of this isn't me all the time.
Yeah.
Or think about hair and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes pretty privilege can be dangerous because it influences what the best version of ourselves look like. And it can be more dangerous when the best version of ourselves is actually unattainable because we can't get there. And it's so, so disheartening and saddening. And it's something that like we promote on TMS insofar as becoming the best version of yourself and really articulating to yourself, what does the best version of me look like realistically?
Yeah.
Genetically, what is actually possible for me to do? And it, again, it's not a bad thing to aspire to be better and to be healthier,
so
to be to present yourself in a way that makes you feel happy. But really examine and expect, is this realistic? Let's reel it back a little bit and actually talk about pretty privilege, even amongst women, because this is something that can generate a lot of resentment, can generate a lot of
envy,
generate a lot of shutting down in conversations and all of that kind of jazz. And let's just deal with it now.
Yeah.
In terms of pretty privilege, there's a lot that there's a lot of different types that exist, right? There is skinny pretty privilege.
Yeah.
There is light skin pretty privilege.
Colorism.
There is featureism.
Yeah.
All of these things exist in tandem with pretty privilege because certain people that exist on these spectrums are considered prettier than others in wider society.
Yeah.
So when we're thinking about featureism, right, the people that are more akin or looking more, you know, European or this vaguely exotic look.
Oh yeah.
Vaguely
racially ambiguous.
Racially ambiguous look, right? These people are considered prettier.
Yeah.
When we think about and this is not to say that folks that do not fit those things are not pretty. Mm. I think we've made that clear, but just in case somebody wants to come for us at some point, don't try it. Don't, we're talking about society's conceptions of pretty. Yeah. We're doing the meta work here.
Yeah.
Folks that exist that are lighter on the spectrum or, you know, have curly hair, yeah, or have like straighter hair, they're considered, yep, exactly, they're considered prettier. Folks that are slimmer or skinnier, they're considered, and obviously subcultures. So for us, big subculture, slim, thick. What does that even mean?
What
does that even mean?
It means curvy in all the right places.
In all the right places. And if you fit this description, you're considered prettier.
Yeah.
And again, there's certain privileges that are afforded to you. Mm. You're able to access a wider pool of folks that find you attractive. Mm. Even dating, right? Yeah. People think it's, oh, you're being bitter when you talk about the fact that the dating pool is small for you, right, because you're not conventionally attractive.
Right.
But it's a real thing. 100%. It's actually a real thing.
100%.
And another problem with pretty privilege or this whole idea of like desirability is a lot of people will hide the fact that pretty privilege exists under the pretense of preference.
Yeah.
You need to examine where your preferences come. Are your preferences coming from a place of self-hate? Why do you prefer what you prefer? We've talked about preferences before.
So many
But
times.
Especially the mandem, you guys need to talk about where are your preferences coming from and why. Why are you going for the babes that have, you know, curly hair or light skin? Recurringly, all of your exes look the same.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Where are these preferences coming from?
And also in expecting your preferences, it's not just about who you are attracted to, but it's also who do you go out of your way to express that you are not attracted to? Because I love that you mentioned pretty privilege has real life ramifications. Absolutely. There are so, before you guys think we're up in the clouds and people who talk about pretty privilege are talking about something that are not, that is not real, and they're looking for reasons to be hurt. Mm-hmm. There are many, many studies that show and suggest, not even suggest, show.
Absolutely.
That people who are conventionally more attracted and perceived as more attractive, facial symmetry, particular features, according to those cultural norms and expectations, they actually have better standards of living and better life chances than people who are unconventionally attractive or who are deemed just unattractive, right? There are studies out there. Please just do your reading and your research before you think we're pulling roots out from the ground
or that we're upset or that we're bitter.
There are real studies that do it, better job opportunities, and all of these things snowball, right?
Yeah.
When you are treated better because people, and this is not a conscious decision people are making. Yeah. That's why pretty privilege is something that really needs to be studied, because people aren't making a conscious decision. People aren't looking at you and thinking, because you're more pretty, I'm going to help you and that ugly person can just die. No, it's the way we are being reprogrammed and programmed as people to respond to people we deem as worthy of respect, worthy of attention, worthy of investment, worthy of knowing, right? Oftentimes the way you look can play a huge part 100%. Into that. 100%. People are less likely to respond to you or even give you a second look, not just romantically, in life, if you do not look like somebody who is conventionally more pretty. For example, the same way that the masculine frame, if you're tall, hench and stuff, you command so much attention because of your form.
Yeah.
Women can sometimes struggle to garner that same level of attention because they tend to be more petite. It's the same way if you are somebody who is conventionally more attractive, people take more notice of you and they therefore tend more to your needs and listen to you more than if you are conventional, you do not fit that conventional archetype of beauty. People tend to ignore you a lot more, and that can even lead to you being ignored in very important and necessary avenues that are not romantic, because your body is othered. Your body is seen as unworthy of attention. Your body is seen as not delicate, not fragile, and you often see people who are not conventionally beautiful on the receiving end of so much abuse. And that's why even if we can sit on here and be like, do the internal work, learn to love yourself, acknowledging pretty privilege is super important, because I love how you mentioned the idea that we have about the glow up and the person who is like glow up's final form. You would never see somebody like Lizzo being a picture like
that's
that.
The thing.
Though she's so content in how she is. She's so confident. Sis is so rich. She's living her actual dream. But people wouldn't put that as the poster child for beauty.
Yeah.
For example, yeah. They will use her as exceptional confidence because the framing is, and as a plus size woman, I often get that. Oh my God, you're so confident, because I choose to exist.
Yeah.
In without insecurity or without fear. Mainly people kind of see that exceptionalism of, oh my gosh, how can you be so content looking how you look? How can you be so content being how you are?
That's it.
And that's why we said in one of our episodes, loving yourself is such a radical thing these days. Radical things, because people think if you don't, and I'm not saying this to not be sympathetic. I'm actually saying this in order to be sympathetic with people who are like, actually, it's easier for me to try my best to adhere to this image of beauty, because I'll be able to navigate through life so much easier. My chances of getting a spouse will be so much easier. And so whilst we sit here and we do highlight the very real dangers of surgery, and we do to a degree advise against it, like cosmetic surgery and aesthetic surgery, I get it. I get why the sisters are on the tables. I get why they're doing the fillers. I get I get it so much, because life to a degree could seem to become easier if you put your subject yourself to these things and go for it.
100.
Sadly. Aww. Yeah. It's really sad.
Honestly.
It's really sad. But then in talking about that, and especially like the surgery aspect and stuff, there's an aspect of the insecurity conversation that most people have, like even ourselves, learn to become confident, learn to do that work, unpack where you got these insecurities from, etc. But on the flip side, there are examples that we have even lived of insecurities that we actually change,
right,
so for example, as a plus size woman, I do often tell myself, learn to be confident in your body, and yet I do still have a weight loss goal. How do you balance acceptance and actual pursuit of change?
Yeah. So I think firstly, understanding that they can coexist is important, because many people think that if you change something, you didn't accept it. They're not mutually exclusive. You can accept something and also seek to change it. And I think we just need to get over it. We're complex human beings. Accepting how you are, like, we've talked about this between us, insofar as you can't change something effectively from a place of self-hate. You have to be able to change effectively from a place of love, because that's what's going to sustain the change.
Yeah.
So I'm similar in the sense of, I have a particular like health. I'm very health oriented in the sense of, I have particular goals for myself. Whilst I have goals for myself, I'm very comfortable and happy in my body. Like, I think I'm the bee's knees. I think I'm sexy.
Come on now.
I think I'm cute. And even that, even saying that for a lot of women is so radical, because we're so used to confusing self-demotion as humility. It's like, oh no, I'm not that pretty. I'm not that cute, because we're looking for validation from external places so that we look humble when we're out here and we're not confident. Because again, confidence is seen as a masculine trait.
Wow.
You have to get a masculine voice or an external voice to come and tell you that you're cute.
Yeah.
We're done with that here. We're actually done with that here. Because that always changes.
Yeah.
What was in today will not be in tomorrow. And if you allow those voices to be the benchmark as to how cute you are, how sexy you are, how pretty you are, how confident you feel, tomorrow you're going to have a heart failure.
Similarly to what you're saying, the standard of beauty constantly changes. If you are relying on someone else's voice to be your assurance of your confidence and the source of your confidence, you're also putting your desire, you're also putting your emotions in the hands of something so fickle. Just as fickle as other people's opinions, because other people, their emotions change. And if I see you today and I don't compliment you because I'm having a bad day, now your emotions and your confidence is shattered.
And it's just like, get over the fact that you're not that important in those people's lives.
Say it again.
Get over it. Because, it's like, oh, you're pretty. I can say somebody is pretty and move on with my day. I'm not thinking about that for the rest of my day.
Forget I even said it.
Forget it. It's actually like not that deep.
Yeah.
Understanding that you are an evolving character and you're allowed to evolve is important. But acceptance of your current state and understanding and loving your current state will serve you so far better, because it's actually a source of strength. So even the way you conceptualize it, when we think of things like health goals, right? Rather than saying, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I need to change. Say, because I love myself, because I love the way I look, it would serve me better if I did this.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like weight loss, because I know it's such a touchy subject for women in particular. And it's something that I'm really, really passionate about, because when it comes to like diets and image and all of that kind of stuff, women are doing the absolute most to look a particular way. We addressed it in one of the 100%. Other TMS pluses. You guys need to let go of that apple cider vinegar right now. Whoever's taking the shot, put it down right now. Cayenne pepper, I don't want to hear it. Military diet, I don't want to hear it. Eating two eggs a day, I don't want to hear it.
How can your diet be two
eggs? You would be shocked and disgusted to see some of the things on YouTube. All of this, eating three salads a day. I know you're upset and hungry. You don't have to live this way.
I know you're
big. It's only somebody that hates themselves that can be eating this. You're eating one salad in the... You're putting your hormones and your body at risk. And that's how I know you don't love yourself. Because some of the ways that you also go about changing yourselves are actually risky.
This is it.
If you loved yourself, you would be looking for the safest and healthiest way to implement that change. But instead, many people are killing themselves in the process under the belief that they're showing themselves loved.
And under the guise of short-term discomfort.
Short-term discomfort. That is, it's only,
you know, I've got to be able to sacrifice now to be able to enjoy later. But your sacrifices now are going to kill you. How will you enjoy later if you're dead?
Dead.
How do you enjoy later when your hormones don't work?
If you really loved yourself, if you really were committed to glowing up and really changing yourself, you would be committed to the long haul.
Yeah.
But because many of us are committed to the short term, 30 days of fitness or 30 days of doing this, or, whilst it's a great start, it can't be your longevity.
No.
That can't be your journey. That can't be your life. Process is hard. Process is difficult. Mm. And part of treading that balance between accepting and self-love, you know, all of that kind of stuff with change is understanding change takes time, and that's okay. Because if you accepted yourself now, then you'd be willing to see out the change over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
But some of us are not. We want tomorrow, I want to be sexy. Tomorrow, I want to look like this babe with the BBL.
Yeah.
And many of us are even following foolish things online in the pursuit of these things. Are you really going to be following a glute program from someone that got a BBL yesterday? Sis don't even follow her own glute program.
Sis ain't never done a squat in her
life. Ever.
Or really? She's doing it for maintenance.
There we go.
It didn't get her there.
There we go. It did not get her there. You are following, and we spoke about this in one of our other episodes. If you are going to have people influencing you, let those that influence you actually have fruit. Some of them don't have fruit. They have the appearance. They have a picture of the fruit.
Speak that wisdom.
They have a picture of the fruit on their front hallway. But it's not real. It is not real.
And I love what you said. I think you said it in the last episode, which is sometimes in our desperation, we don't realize what we're eating is poison. Please do not get to a point where you're so desperate for acceptance, so desperate for companionship. And that's why we always, like you said, emphasize self-hatred, fear, all of those are terrible motivations for aspiring for a relationship or desiring to get healthier, whatever it may be. Because you'll be in haste. Fear distorts your perception of time.
That's good. Like
the fact that you're so scared that I'm so fat, I'll never get into a relationship. You want to snap and you want to, you know, transform your entire body in the next 90 days because you think you don't have time. And this is one of the best expressions of self-love that you can really give yourself. And one of the greatest things you can bring yourself to understanding of is no one is chasing you. Mm. Whilst your friends may be doing X, Y, Z, and while society may be telling you by this age, like, for example, I saw a tweet ages ago, like years ago, that was like, listen, if you're 21 now and you haven't got your like skinny body, give up. You're not going to get it. And I remember thinking, I'm 22.
That's it. It's done. That's it then.
Oh my God.
Catch you on the other side.
Catch you on the other side. Jesus, take me now. I'm useless.
That's it.
Don't let other people put timelines on you.
Nope.
And put restraints on you. Because one thing fear will really do is tell you don't have enough time.
Yeah.
You need to do this quicker. Why haven't you done this by now? Everyone else has done this. Suddenly, the spirit of your age mate starts whispering to you. And it's like, your friends are doing this. Your friends are skinny. They're in relationships. Look at you. Where are you? And it's like, how about I just take a step back? and realize this is my journey. And I'm actually in control of this right, right now. Myself and God are going to partner to author this journey together, walk out this story, mm-hmm. and actually go through a process that, like you said, a process that shows me that I love myself. Yeah. A process that shows me that I can have patience with myself, mm-hmm. that I can be disciplined, that mm-hmm. I can have self-control, but also that I can be kind, yes. and I can be gentle. Why don't you work on also demonstrating those things to yourself and cultivating them in yourself? Because a lot of us use our marker of whether we're a good person as how do I treat other people, mm. but actually a good indicator that's is how good. Do you treat yourself.
That's good. And some of you are abusing yourselves.
Oh, big time.
You're really beating yourself big over time. With a stick.
Big time.
Beating yourself up. And I think as you were speaking, what really occurred to me was the importance of getting anchored in something. And for us, a big part of it is being anchored in our faith.
Yeah,
really, really, for me, understanding God's conception of me, what can you actually say to me to break my confidence?
Thank you.
What can you actually say?
Thank you.
God says I'm marvelous. God says I'm beautiful. God said he made me. He formed me. He knew me
if from when I was. His image and likeness.
What can you actually say to me? Right. What is it that you can say to me? And that does not change.
Honestly.
You need to get anchored in something that does not change. Honestly. Something positive that does not change. And because so many sisters are anchored, and the thing is, many of us think we're anchored, but we're not. Because if you were anchored, why is it that you're consistently feeling this, a sense of chronic sadness about the way that you look? That's not normal. It's not normal to be insecure all the time. We have normalized insecurity as humility.
Especially as women. It's, like you said, yeah.
We have normalized it. Especially I'm so done with it.
Yeah.
Do you want to spend the best years of your life worrying about what other people say about you? Do you want to spend the best years of your life afraid and cowering away because somebody doesn't think you're pretty or somebody doesn't think you're beautiful? You think you're not beautiful. And I'll be damned if I stand in my own way. I'll be damned.
Oh, that's a word. I'll be damned if I stand in my
me.
Way. Especially if it means I'm also shutting off people who want to love me.
Oh.
Because so many of us are like, oh, my crush doesn't find me attractive to it. But there is someone who's looking at you like you're a damn snack.
You're cute. Baby,
you are cute.
What?
And you're closing yourself off because you think, I saw this tweet, no one is going to like me. Actually, no, somebody wants your auntie body. Sis.
This fam,
somebody wants
even
it.
The tweet. Oh, don't even get me started on those echo chambers because I will go
this
to town.
This is echo chambers and people state their town. Opinion as if it is fact. It is your opinion.
These are the same people that will come and be talking nonsense on the TL about what they prefer and what they don't. Their preferences do not prefer them. Oh. They have never spoken in public. Oh. We don't know who they are. Oh, they're not making money. Like, you're internalizing the words of somebody that for all intents and purposes, you do not know. They're a TL character. Caricature, if you will.
Caricature.
Because they're a joke.
You're not the jester.
A joke. Jester cards in blackjack. You're the joker.
You're the joker.
You're letting these. Sometimes I look at the TL and I'm just like, so this is what you're posting at this time of. And it's sad because these are actually the things that have real implications. Like when I think of when people start talking about things like representation and stuff like that. All of these social media outbreaks of like what folks had to say about dark skinned women or what folks have to say about women that are larger, da 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 da. And I'm just like, imagine being a kid or somebody in your formative years going online and seeing all of this rubbish about what you look like and now having to face everything else and feeling like the whole world is against you. Imagine, like, I'm done. I'm done. And then now to be told you're bitter for challenging. I am done. I am done.
Yeah.
I'm bitter, but you're mad. You're mad. You're mad and you don't realize it. In fact, you lack critical thought and genuine intellectual capacity. No. Biggest man thing because, if the only response, if somebody challenges you on your preference, someone challenges you on what you think is pretty, and the only thing that you have to say in response is you're bitter, actually, no, you're mad.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you're mad.
You're stupid.
And even to come back, like what you were saying about there are folks who are actively like, what are you going out of your way to avoid? Mm. What conceptions of people are you going out of your way to avoid? Mm. Actually, do inspect that.
Yeah.
Actually, do inspect that. Because some of you are real, you're behaving like heifers. You're behaving like, no, I'm like, Courtney, when I say I've had it up to here, I am done with the echo chambers. I'm done with the stupid discussions. I am done with the whole who's pretty and who's not, or how to be a desirable woman and how to do. I'm done.
Yeah.
How about how to be a desirable you?
And just be happy in that.
There is somebody out there for you. I promise you.
Oh, big time.
There is somebody out there.
And it only takes one.
It just takes. You're not dating the TL.
And this is it. And this is why I be telling people, sometimes you just need to shut off your phone. I've come off Twitter. Too much anxiety, too much high blood pressure over there. I can't take it. Call me soft. Yes, I am. Because I can't take it.
You're better than me.
So many. I'm petty. They're so, oh, I can't do the petty. You've got a heart for it. I'm like,
I'm petty. Come at me. Bro. The eloquent drag, I like to call it. Come at me.
Eloquent drag queen of it. Follow her on Twitter if you want actual bands. But I think it's so important, like you said, to realize somebody is stating their opinion. It's their opinion, individual. Just because it's got bare retweets, whatever, move past it. It's a think piece. You don't have to subscribe to it. And I've actually found so much comfort in just seeing something and being like, ah, that's your opinion.
And I don't care.
That's your opinion and it works for your life. But in my life, I'm the one who's really controlling the reins of this thing and really seeing like, where is this life going to go? And one thing I refuse is to let other people who are so bold and confident in their opinions take away my ability to be so bold and confident in my existence. Because that is one thing that social media can really do to you. You validate people and you give them the more room to think of themselves more highly.
Bruh.
When you say, because of your opinion, I can no longer exist in confidence, right? What? Become more confident in the fact that what you say basically is law. And now I'm going to shrink. No, the same way you have the boldness and the effrontery and the pure audacity to spew such idiocy and stupidity on the TL, I'm going to be that radical in my existence. I'm going to be that radical in my pursuit of happiness.
I'm going to
be that radical in actually the attainment of my own goals and becoming the person I want to be.
Because
clearly you think you're the bee's knees. I too will start to think I am the bee's knees.
Oh, and just really quickly, to check all the sisters that have been perpetrators of the internalized misogyny, because you guys thought that you could get off scot-free on
this. It's you, in fact, for the issue.
It's you. You're the problem. It's not just the man them that we're directing this out, because there's also the women who are perpetrators of the same thing, whether it be towards yourself or to other people.
Yeah.
Many of you are so not supporting or standing up for your sisters.
Yeah.
Many of you are staying silent on these issues. Your silence is complicity. Many of you are staying silent because these issues are not in proximity to you, or because this you benefit. It.
Because you benefit.
You're benefiting.
There you go.
You're benefiting. And there you're you only entering the conversation as a pick me.
This is it.
You're entering the conversation because you know that you have power here.
Yeah.
I implore you to really think about your position here. If, listen, TMS community is really all about community. It's really about sisterhood. It's really about uplifting women, all types of women. This whole pitting women against themselves, this whole featureism, colorism, this whole whatever ism, leave it at the door. It doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're not pitting women against each other. We're coming up together. And if that's too radical for you, this might not actually be the community for you.
It might not be the space. And I love that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of the time these conversations end in, women never want to be held accountable. Oh, no. Oh. We're holding women accountable to their goals. What we won't let you do is dictate to them what their goals should be.
You better.
And that's the problem, right? People want to dictate, you should look like this, you should act like this, you should be like this. No, how about you go and inspect? No, how about you go and inspect what you should be in your own uniqueness? 100. What will make you happy and what will also align to, like you said, for us being anchored in our faith, what aligns to the way you were created to be? You were created in your uniqueness for a purpose, right? We can't rob you of that so that you can satisfy the opinions and the desires of people and wider society and all these other factors we highlighted, or Renee so perfectly highlighted in the beginning. But once you discover that, once you discover the woman you want to be or that you should become, once you discover the way you need to and you want to serve community, we're going to hold you accountable to those marks you have set yourself, to those goals you have set yourself. That's what we're holding you accountable to. But so often, especially with women, because our bodies are often objectified for consumption. People feel as though they should dictate to us, this is what you should be and these should be your goals. No.
So I can consume you. Well, we're not doing the whole bodies for consumption. Okay. No. Even with art, it jars me so much, Courtney. Even when we think about like body goals, right? We think of body goals and glow up for consumption, but not functionality.
Functionality.
Never functionality. Functionality. Some of you are looking petite and, you know, slim, thick, but you can't run up the stairs.
Your heart is about to give way. Your ovaries are screaming at you because your hormones are all in flux. Some of you are skinny, looking nice around and thick, ain't seen your period in 6 months. There are so many things the female body actually needs to be able to function. And you're taking away, like you said, its functionality and its practicality for aesthetics and optics. For people who are not coming to breed you, for people who are not going to give you a single penny of their money either. Listen, sis.
Leave it out. Are you actually
divest?
I'm coming to do slim fig for who?
Especially
at the bar.
And I'm going to have to deal with those ramifications, right? The girls that are getting BBLs. Look, unfortunately, the lives that have been lost, or the fact that people now cannot function in a healthy way, in the the things that you may have taken for granted, your ability to walk, your ability to have security in the idea that once you sit, you'll be able to get up, or the fact that your legs move and you can walk. All of these things are now stripped away from you. Why? Because other people's opinions began to rule your life, right? And as much as, like, I love how you highlighted, whilst human beings, we are complex, and yes, you can want to do something for yourself, but also you wanting to do it for yourself is oftentimes informed by other people's opinions around you. And other people's language and desires have now become your language and your desires because of their influence on you, not because it came out of you from nowhere. So yes, yes, man, just really inspect your motives.
You have to, and realize that people are mad.
Sick, even
mad.
Oh, well,
everyday humble women.
Can you not rest? And that's another aspect of it. Like, I love that you said insecurity is not humility.
It's not.
It's really not. Run your own race.
Do your own thing, honestly. Run to the beat of your own drum. You cannot allow external forces to have power over the way you conceive of yourself.
So good.
No longer. They can influence to a degree. Because we're not stupid and we're not dumb. We know that if you're trying to pull certain types of guys, or if you're 100. Trying to pull certain types of things, then okay, you got to play the part.
100.
And as we've stated in the beginning, there are wider dynamics at play, as we have addressed in Pretty Privilege. But Omo, in this life, you've got to enjoy, and you've got to enjoy yourself.
Some
of us will not be a fam. I remember being so insecure. I wouldn't like to dance in front of people. Heck, I didn't even feel comfortable eating in front of people. Now, what? Let me enjoy. Let me chop my burger in front of folks. Let me go and dance with my friends. Like, this is what life is all about. Living to the fullest and really feeling like a present person, and not always having to guard yourself when you're outside or doing things with people. Imagine that kind of life. And if you have to imagine it, that's a shame, because you should be living it.
You do not have to apologize for your existence.
You don't have to apologize. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. I don't know who we're talking to today. Stop apologizing for existing. Go out and live.
Yeah.
Go to the salsa dancing class. Go and shake your bum a little bit somewhere. Go outside.
Go and do your thing. So honestly, we do hold women accountable, but we're holding women accountable to their own goals.
I love that you said that. Because there's too many people out there. Yeah, are you holding women accountable? Women need to be humbled. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You need to go and deal with your deep, deep misogyny and realistically your mother issues. Because in all honesty, no. A lot of men, this whole idea of humbling women, this whole idea of, you know, trying to get women on par, hold them accountable, there's somebody in your life you need to go and address. Stop projecting. A lot of projection is going on. Okay, I'm done.
Well, she said what she said.
I said what I had to say.
We'll definitely create an episode of Mommy Issues.
I'm ready to go to town on that one.
Some people need to be addressed.
I'm ready to go to town on that one.
But we hope that this episode has helped you. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you. That was Excellent.
We tried for that one, Sha. Oh, we tried for that
one. Yeah, sisters, we hope that this episode has helped you. We hope that as you begin this journey of overcoming your insecurities, that you truly discover who you were made to be and the pursuing that to its fullest and excellent potential radically, okay? So let us know what you think about this topic. Let us know if we have touched on anything that you relate to or if there's anything that you want to add. Or heck, if there's something you disagree with, but just know. Go ahead. We always reply. Always have things to say.
Listen,
back.
Sisters, okay. Yeah, this ain't this kind of community where y'all can talk. Hold on, man. We gotta address it because we gotta set some boundaries. This is not the kind of community where you can speak to anybody anyhow. So if you do have a disagreement, we would say disagree respectfully.
That's it.
If you don't disagree respectfully, you'll find yourself liable to an eloquent drag. That is all I have to say on the matter.
So yeah, let us know your thoughts. Let us know your thoughts down below. But you can also let us know your thoughts over on Instagram @ToMySisterhood. And if you want to come and say hi to us individually, then hit her up @ReneeKapuku on Instagram and Twitter and @CDBoatin on Instagram.
Lovely jubbly. And of course, you know the accent. And of course, did you hear that? I'm somewhere up north. I'm sorry to the northern sisters. They're probably like, I'm sick of Renee at this point. It's like, I didn't think that she was going to come with another accent this year. You can definitely continue the conversation over on our Twitter.
Yes.
Chirp, chirp, chirp. @ToMySisterhood as well. Yeah. And of course, sign up for the mailing list, guys. We tell you every week. Are you not tired? for all of our goodies and bits on insecurities, as well as everything else. So you can sign up at www.tomysisters.com. Ladies, we hope you had a fantastic time listening in and we wish you well with all the things that you are doing this week. We hope and we just pray that this week you will live a week where you are free from insecurity and that you will go about everything that you need to do this week with boldness and confidence. Go and take the city.
Amen.
On that note, we'll see you very soon. Keep glowing and growing.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.